Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini.
We are so excited that you're listening to us. If you want to elevate the experience and see these interviews on video, you can join either one of our Patreons. They are linked in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, in addition to getting to watch the full-length video interviews. We also both have tons of additional content and support for the spiritual community. So go ahead and check those out. And then if you're ever interested in readings with us or personally connecting with us, we also have our websites and social medias linked in the description as well. Feel free to share this episode with everybody that you know. Get the Lick It Like a Lollipop name spread around, and we hope you love this episode. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Candyland. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute, but the little break that we had, we're now entering, as of today, Mercury retrograde. So there's a lot of shifts. We're in eclipse season. April is just fun packed with all the transits. And I feel like right now, like the first quarter of the year is over. And now it's like this fresh energy today of the second quarter. And I'm feeling the vibes.
I love how many times people ask us, is something in retrograde right now? Like, we get asked all the time, is something in retrograde? Something has to be in retrograde. I'm like, I'll fucking know. Let me ask Paige.
Honestly, there hasn't been anything in retrograde for like several months. There was nothing in retrograde all at once. But yeah, it's definitely going to be kicking up with eclipse season. We've got the full solar eclipse, which I just want to say, I think it's so wild how we've had two of these major events and transits where you need these little glasses that I don't think you really need. I think they just tell you that. I don't think you actually need it. But there's just so much that is happening in the last like 20 years that's supposed to be once in a lifetime. That's like really crazy how it's just like always once in a lifetime.
My thing is how scared everybody seems to be. Like, all these videos about this is what the eclipse is going to mean and the world is going to end or everything's going to go down. And it's either it's going to or it's not. You panicking and fucking freaking out about it doesn't do anything. If it's all going to go to shit, it's all going to go to shit.
Yeah, I feel like people manifest that reality for their own timeline. And like everything that you feel and think, you're projecting outward, which has been like being reflected back to you in some way through your experiences or through the information. And it's like, you know, people watch a lot of fear-based movies, TV shows, and like it gets in programmed into you to think very doomsday energy. Like, I've had a lot of people as of late try to like project doomsday beliefs onto me, and I just don't want to hear it. Like, I just don't live in those lower frequencies, because honestly, if tomorrow was everyone's last day, it would be what it is. You know what I mean? I'm ready for any, like, anything that is possibly happening. I feel very protected. I feel very safe. But like at the end of the day, if everything's going to change and everything's going to go, like, you better be right with your spirit. That's all I can say for y'all. Get right with spirit, get right with yourself, get right with your own wants and desires so that you'll be at peace whenever that happens. But constantly worrying and being in fear and being in fight or flight mode only benefits the system.
So this is kind of like sectioning off of something that you just said, but like not really related. When I was just up at my mom's house visiting, there were these Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul books that I used to read when I was in high school. And so my dad was giving them to my daughter, and he was like, Mom used to like reading these, like you can read them. And my husband was like, oh, what are those? And my mom makes this comment, and she was like, well, when Diana was younger, she used to like self-diagnose herself with like needing to have like emotional and like spiritual healings and stuff. And so she used to like read these books and the way that she and like work on healing herself. But like the tone in which she said what she said,
hit me wrong. And so it's something that's been like inside of my brain since then, where I was like, was I just like a delusional teenager, like in fight or flight mode, you know, whatever. And as I started thinking about what she said, I'm like, that's literally the entire point of shadow work, is like figuring out what things about yourself, why you are processing the way that you're processing, why you are feeling, thinking, and understanding and perceiving the world the way that you are, figuring out, is that something that I'm liking? Do I like how I'm processing these things and how I'm reacting to it? Or do I like need to heal and whatever? And so I'm realizing that I think that there's so much of the time that we feel like we're being judged and stuff is because other people do not understand the immense self-reflection and the ability to heal your own self. And the fact that, yes, mental health and going somewhere, you know, licensed if you're needing that is really important, but that we have so much like power and control and being able to assess when we are in fighter flight mode and work on healing those things about ourselves that are making us reactionary to the world around us.
Yeah, anytime we're giving people those power over our emotions and like how we're going to perceive their tone, their energy, their actions towards us, even disrespect, you know, we embody that and we store that as our trauma. And like as those levels of us begin to like unfold, I think it is easier to see when you're going back to that cycle, like being, you know, defensive or feeling like you have to explain yourself or be different from who you are. And so many people are in those modes and they can't be themselves, whether it's because of, you know, sexuality or gender or quality in any way, you know. So being a teenager, in my opinion, is fucking hard. And I look back on like my teen and adolescent years and all the things that really made me the way that I was into my 20s, like that shaped me, you know, those experiences. And I'm like, wow, you know, it was a really hard time in my life. And I feel like my 30s have been the best time of my life because it's been like so much healing from that like little girl version more into like the deep womanhood of like who I am becoming. And I feel really grateful to like be able to connect and like talk about things like this, but then also just be able to like be vulnerable in a sense to be like, yeah, this triggered me the way that this was said. But deep down, it's like, you know, everyone's living their own experience and their own perception of who we were and what we were. You know, I remember in my like, in like between like 11 and like 15, I was just punk, emo, gothic, like completely, like just a totally different version of myself. And so, like, you know, my parents, like, or my dad kind of like bullied me out of being gothic. He was like, you can't go to high school wearing that. Like, you're not. Yeah. He was like, we got to get you new clothes. You cannot go. You're not going to sanction yourself off like this your first time at this school.
Well, and you know, that's like, I guess to me, there's all types of different parents and people who do different things, like depending on what they've been through too. And right now, I've really been assessing how people parent around me because one, I'm always trying to figure out like, is there something that I could be doing differently? Like, do I like something that somebody else is doing? But also, I want to see things that I want to avoid. And I noticed that there are so many people who, and this is not like parent shaming, this is just an observation, because parenting is fucking hard. But I see so many people who are like, oh, I'm spiritual. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. They're so self-focused on them, hopping around relationship to relationship, going out and partying, going out and, you know, connecting with other people or whatever it may be, and doing something that's self-serving all the time, and then leaving their kids to like pick up the pieces. And I don't find, when I say like people that are spiritual, I don't mean necessarily people inside of like our spiritual communities that like are inside of our circle, but just people that I notice around me in everyday life that are like, they use oh, but I'm spiritual, or oh, but I go to church, oh, but I believe in God and whatever, as their reasoning for they're a good person. So to them, because they have some kind of faith or something, they're better and they're healed and they're on the right path and they're doing all their things. And so then it's like they don't take the time to assess their actions and how it's influencing their children. Because, well, I'm on a spiritual journey, and so I'm all good and I'm all healed.
I know a lot of people that I wonder, like, how, like, much they're even conscious of what they do, their patterns and their cycles that affect their children. I mean, as like a non-parent, I just wonder, like, is that even possible in the human mind to be super conscious of, like, when, unless you're just like downright doing drugs and abandoning your kid on the corner, of course, like, you know, deep in your heart, you're putting trauma on them. But I mean, people who legitimately, like my dad, felt like he did all that he could do, right? When there are things that I look back and observe that I'm like, he could have just did a little more of this or that. But my dad was very much in that mode of like, if I provide for you financially, you have food and clothes, you're 1000% taken care of and you have nothing to complain about. You know what I mean? So like, I just wonder in the human mind, is it even realistic to assume that people could be super conscious of the minor and major cycles that they inflict onto their child, whether it's just like teaching your kid, you know, something that you were taught that maybe wasn't serving you, not you personally, but you know what I mean? Like the things that we're taught that we inherit from generation to generation, like I wonder how conscious people can really be of that with their children, right? Because it's like you've inherited these traits through lineage and DNA and stuff, you know what I mean? Like the more that I wake up to the things that I've done that have held me back, I just wonder if like you can really be conscious of that with your children, whether you're on a spiritual path or not.
I think that there are normal everyday things where you're like, I could have made a different choice about that. I should have made a different choice about this, or, you know, whatever. And I do think there are people who they're so naive to mistakes that they could be making or changes that they could be making or ways that they truly are affecting their child, that they can be directly told, this is harmful, this is neglectful, this is abusive, this is a cycle that you have of being abusive, of moving in with multiple people, of doing A, B, C, and D. And you can show them the mirror and you can tell them, and they don't have the ability to self-reflect on parenting. They can self-reflect on all other areas of life and work on it, but there's like a blockage when it comes to parenting. And the people I have in mind as I'm talking about it, and we're talking about like that generational thing, all of them are people who were, I'm not going to repeat the mistakes of my mother, specifically that mother energy. I won't repeat this, but then they're having a carbon copy life. They're just doing it differently and like making an excuse about it. Oh, well, but it's different than when I was a child because, you know, I'm in a different town, or the way that I am like neglecting or abusing is different than the way that I was neglected or abused. And so it's like, I think that maybe in some people's healing journey, because they don't have it exactly the same as it was when they were growing up, they can't see the correlation, because to them it's better than they had it, even though, well, you're still not doing good. You're just doing better than the misery that you were raised in.
Yeah, I just wonder sometimes what goes through a lot of people's head, parents or not. I think, you know, different people, different strokes for different folks has been my new like saying, because at the end of the day, like, I am completely glad that I can't comprehend why some people do what the fuck they do, because my head and my brain don't work like that. And, you know, just some of the things that I hear from clients and friends and just random people, like, it's definitely a trauma bonding kind of world. Like, most people don't know how to develop genuine friendships and connections. Like we've expressed about our friendship when everyone was trying to take the daggers and the knives and the axes to our friendship because a lot of people are only self-serving in their relationships, and it's natural. It's very trauma related, whether people believe they have trauma or not, because sometimes you're so brainwashed to think that your development or the way that you are is good. You know what I mean? Is like that's awesome. It's working. And I think that so many people are so manipulative with other people, like friends, family, their children, like using your kid. If you've ever been used as a pawn against your other parent, which I have as a child, something changes in your brain chemistry when your parents are arguing over you and seeing you, and one is dangling you in front of the other. And I went through that, you know, personally as a child. So, you know, there's just different experiences that like change your brain chemistry, regardless if you see them as trauma or not. That's just an example of like my own trauma. And, you know, some people, you know, have deep rooted parent trauma. Like that was more of the anger and trauma with my parents themselves rather than me. And I just became a reflection and or asset to that problem already. So, you know, when people use children as pawns or use each other as pawns, it's like no one really wins in the end, especially if you're hurting people that you care about or your family. Or, you know, I've always seen people, not just people I know personally, but just people in general, like they'll shit on someone they've known for 5 to 7 years, someone who's been holding them down, taking care of them, picking up the pieces to go run their shot or their chance with someone else and like cheat or blow a whole situation up with a business partner. Or, you know, in general, like I had a client tell me about a really personal battle they were going through with like a friend of family that they had started a business together, and the person was like laundering money out of the business, like six figures.
Yes.
And, you know, that's crazy because that was driving a wedge in their marriage and like other things. And she's like, this person was in our wedding. And that just really blew my fucking mind because that's like being royally fucked by someone that you're giving full benefit and trust to. And, you know, it just really shows you that people do not think about long term of their actions, like the consequences of those actions or the trauma. So like, you know, being conscious of things that we bring into the situation is really taking that self accountability, which I think is super hard for men and women alike. It's not just partners and relationships, it's everyone. You know, so many people are kind of just lost in their own bubble. And I think because they keep us all in fear and in those fight or flight modes, that it's easy to do that. It's like a numbing mechanism to like get drunk all the time, or why beer and alcohol is like everywhere on every corner, but food deserts exist where people don't even have access to resources, but there's seven liquor stores on the block, you know? So, or gas stations or whatever, you know what I mean? It's just like a lot of things in this world don't make a lot of sense if you're actually like theoretically wanting to help people. And I think that we just all are in these cycles.
Well, and like with that, you know, the business thing, right? There's all types of things, though, that we haven't known as being people going into doing business for ourselves or whatnot that other people know. So, like, for instance, like when you and I, when I've been coming to you lately and I've been like, hey, when we're gonna do any type of like partnership on things with people, we should totally have these types of contracts. We should do these types of things now. And when we were, and not even just when we were growing up, but just like in everyday life, having like NDAs or contracts or things like that is considered to be like a, oh, you're fancy type of shit. Like, oh, you think that like you have big shit and somebody's gonna like fuck you over. You know what I mean? And really, regardless of how small your business is, your hustle is, there's always a person who is your friend and getting what they can, and then all of a sudden they're not. And we experienced that last year inside of our communities when we were supporting people's businesses and we were friends with people, and people were coming to personally drive to your house and stay at your house, and you were shouting them out and supporting them and their readings and everything. And then meanwhile, they've been behind your back messaging people inside of your community, talking about you and saying, hey, but come over to my community and I'll keep you safe. If you had done business with this person and you had some type of like contractual agreement or whatever. And so those are things that I feel like we should be empowering ourselves with now is like, no, it's not a you're bougie or who the fuck do you think you are? You have your shit all together. It's knowing how people are going to move and how they prove to move and protecting yourself. And there are so often that, you know, whether it's business things go wrong or friendships go wrong or whatever, where the person goes from being wonderful. You guys are best friends. You guys are, oh my gosh, you don't have a bad thing to say about them. And then shit comes crashing down and it's, well, this is the whole list of how that was an awful person and I hated them and, you know, yada, yada. To me, if you have a falling out with somebody and then all you do is completely drag them and shit talk them and now you have all these negative things to say, you both were snakes to each other the entire time. They just chose to make themselves known before you did because clearly you were having problems all along and you were out here flaunting this fucking thing. That's why anytime that you and I both, when we've had issues and stuff happen, we've literally been like, I really cared about this person and whatever. And I'm sad the way that it went. I wouldn't have wanted that. I didn't know that was happening or whatever, because like, fucking loyalty to people. And if you don't like them and you're not loyal to them, fucking let them go.
Honestly, what blows my mind is that someone could come in and admire you so much and like be so inspired by you to start a business or to advance onto a spiritual journey where they're helping other people. And then you and me to like, just specifically support these people and turn them on to other people. And like people we know only that we would know are giving them money and helping them out. And they're getting new cars and upgrading their life. But then all of a sudden it's fuck us. It's fuck us. If we don't get our readings early enough, we don't get them when we want them. Jim and I won't even give them. Paige don't even answer, you know, like these lies. Cause literally I have, you know, hundreds of reviews from people, and you do as well, that are just like so happy, so blessed, so content, willing to give their last dollar, so happy they spent, you know, the money on the reading, got the reading, they're blown away, whatever it may be. And still at the same time, these people can actually have the audacity to try to like spread those lies all the way around to people they only met through us. And it was such a weird thing, because you all listening that are just coming in, that have came in the last couple months or whenever, I know we've grown a lot recently. These people were like in our sacred circles, showing up on our monthly subscriptions, if you will, like doing everything. But then meanwhile, we're stifling and like snaking people out of the community, acting like almost convincing these people that it was their idea to leave the community. So then they're summoning and trying to bring other people with them, like, well, in my community, I had at least 7 people that I had to block and remove, like just 7 people. Like, that's mind blowing. And the energy behind that is that these people were all over the United States, like all the way West Coast, all the way East Coast, all the way South, like all the way North. They were everywhere, y'all. Like, fucking weirdos.
I also noticed that. And I guess I hadn't really noticed that it affected me in this way. Like, we've talked about different ways that it's affected us, but I noticed that it affected the way that I was creatively doing things on Patreon and just like inside of my community. And that when we had done like major restructuring last year of how we were running things, because we were like, well, I don't want to have a repeat of this. And I realized that the way that I restructured things was basically to like shut down because it was, well, we don't feel like we, it was 2 people who said this was like, we didn't feel like we were getting enough from you. We didn't feel like you were doing enough. And when I analyzed things and I'm like, what couldn't they have been getting enough about? I was like, oh, maybe people need more one-on-one handholding. And so the way that I did mentorship changed and the way that I did content on Patreon changed and whatever, because I was trying to make sure that every single person felt like they were having their hand held. And like, you can't ever feel like I'm not doing enough because look, I'm doing all of this just for you. And so I've been like, why do I feel drained? Why do I feel like I'm not inspired about like what I'm doing or whatever? And I realized it's because of the approach energetically that I was having was like, please find value in me. Please don't feel like what I'm pouring my heart and soul into means nothing. Please tell me that you're getting something out of this. Are you getting something out of it? Whereas before that, I didn't give a flying fuck. I'm putting out what I'm feeling led that I need to put out as content, as education on it. If you have questions about it, if you want to talk about it, come to me. That's a part of the mentorship, is you get that one-on-one. In the meantime, if you don't need me, cool, I'm here if you do. And I'm getting back into that. Like that, I'm really excited about April. And it just has like, maybe it's like the whole spring energy, but it just has this, I'm waking up and things are going to be fresh and new, and we're cleaning things out that aren't serving us, and we're bringing in the sunshine. And I'm really excited to be able to just energetically put ourselves, just maneuver ourselves differently. We've restructured our things. We've changed the way that we're doing circles. We've decided, like, you know what, we are going to be a little bit more exclusive about things. And we are going to be, you know, having this not just for everybody, but for people that are really invested in this, because our energy is meaningful and we don't have to just make it available just so that nobody can say that they were left out or that we didn't do enough. So as I say that, I realize like even in our business that we've done together, we did kind of start to operate with the, oh, everybody's welcome. We just want you to make sure that you feel like you can be here, even if, you know, it's energetically exhausting to have, what did you call it? What kind of people are they? Like observers?
Monitoring spirits.
Monitoring spirits. Yeah.
Monitoring spirits, for those that don't know what this is, it is the people that you always see like in your views, but never in your likes. People that always have a comment, but are actually not supporting you. People that like see that your status is popping off, so they comment to be relevant, to draw attention to them. Or like, you know, the only time they comment is something like argumentative or condescending or, you know, limited in some way, something that's kind of shutting you down. Or in real life, even like the people that support you only behind closed doors, kind of like the people who fuck bitches, but only behind closed doors. Because then when you're like, why can't we be more? Why can't we put each other on Facebook? They're like, oh, I try to keep my drama low. No, baby girl, he's fucking other girls. Like, that's what they do. But they'll teach you their like concepts so that you feel like, no, this is just them. They keep a low profile. No, if he posts on his story but refuses to post to you, he doesn't keep a low profile. I can understand the guys, because I've started like manifesting dudes who are just not obsessed with social media, who don't see as much like value in it as someone like you and I, who run a full online business through social media. You know what I mean? Like, I just would rather my man be a man and be not like posting 29,000 things on Facebook constantly or whatever. Like, only one of us can be loud and annoying on the internet, and I've got you covered. Like, I'm going to talk on the internet for both of us, because I just don't want everybody knowing everything. And I just think people who want you to perceive them a certain way will always let you down in the end. And I always hear when I meet people in person, like, they're shocked that I actually am the way that I am, that there's like no facade, that I really am who I present on the podcast or who I present in real life. And that has irked a lot of fucking people, y'all. Like, people think they like me when they can, like, I guess, turn me off. But then whenever they get around me, they're like, I can't believe that I'm actually here and that I don't like her. And I don't know. It's like, it's never me though, because it'll be crazy. You show up to my house acting like you're my bestie. I've got you a present. Like, I'm excited to see you. And then the whole time you're running around town, hanging out with people you've met from my community that live here, and I don't even fuck with them. And then you're going to hang out with them. Like, tell me that's just like fucking weird, and didn't even invite me to go with you all. Like, was really weird about it. And so, I look back at like those monitoring spirits, like people who want to be close to the fire, but they can't start their own fire, or the people that like are only relevant when they're talking about someone else who's popular and relevant, which is like literally how TMZ has made $1 billion, is by talking about people who are relevant. Take notes. Let's talk our own story. Let's start clickbait. Let's add rumors. Every once in a while, we'll drop something that's true, or we'll have something that's exclusive. But half the time, it's just fucking rumors and opinion or random photos, like just because Lana Del Rey and I don't know who it was like Lana Del Rey and like Wiz Khalifa, I think, were like caught hanging out together. Like they both publicly talk alike, smoking weed a lot. Maybe they're fucking, maybe they're not, but they both smoke hella weed and talk about it. So why wouldn't they,
Right.
like, why wouldn't they ride to an award show together or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, because they were caught going to some party together, but who gives a fuck? Like, people want to talk about people that are irrelevant. And that's what I feel like what happened is like none of these people individually had any friends in real life. Like you lived in bumfucked Montana or wherever the fuck, and you didn't have any friends. We gave you a sense of community. We gave you all a sense of, connection. Even people who were like in their late 50s, early 60s, baby, giving y'all connection, bringing y'all in, letting y'all like have friends and people who support you. And what do? You shit on it and you tear it up like a fucking puppy or something and act like you didn't do it and sit over in the corner and like whimper and fucking whine. Like it was so much drama for no reason because not at any time did I feel like it was that we weren't giving these people enough. In my opinion, I was giving them too much for the price. And you said it made you want to do more. It actually made me do less and build a more personable connection with people that actually support me on Patreon. And that's the people that were like on a main level and up. You know what I mean? Like really
Yeah.
catering, not necessarily just catering to them, but just giving them more of my energy rather than anyone else on the internet or random people or whatever. Like it didn't make me necessarily do more. It made me be more present and learn more about the people that are in my community rather than trying to be out recruiting new while letting the kids play unattended in the room.
No, I totally get that. And yeah. It's when I'm listening to the way that like people perceive you, it's just kind of funny to me because it makes me think like, even though you had hung out with a few of those people from that community space in person, I really feel like they didn't know you. And so I feel like when we started this podcast, you were viewed at as like you're just so sweet and demure, and you don't really have that many like strong opinions about things. You're just like super fairy go lucky, go see a concert and go travel whimsical. And they didn't, for some reason, you and I just got each other and knew each other and had a really deep connection really quickly and got to know each other's personalities really quickly. And so other people weren't able to see that. So when we're having these like open discussion, you're having more attitude about what you're saying, you're having your very firm boundaries and whatever, other people were looking at that and they're like, well, that's not Paige. That's not the Paige that I know. So the way that somebody would meet you that only knows you from online and would be like, that's not what I was expecting is the same thing I think when they know you in person and then they see you on the internet. You're going to have a different connection with somebody when they're seeing you in person and you're just like, hey girl, what's up? Like having a conversation versus when you're like, and I don't fucking like people taking advantage of me. And let me talk to you about spiritual trolls. Like you're just going to have different energy. And so I think that's where people can't get behind that. And then I was on our anniversary of the homegirl episode. We were looking like through all of our pictures and whatever of our trip together. And I really was like having flashbacks of like, holy fuck, we survived death together. And I was thinking about, I listened to the episode and you were like, she said that we were fake ass bitches and that we weren't who we were on the internet and she didn't even know who we were. And it's just so funny to me because we were the exact same in person as we are on the, like, as we always are. I felt like I felt so comfortable. I was like, I knew what to expect from you. I knew when shit popped off, you were like, I've got this handled. I'm going to take care of these back end things. Throw her off the loft if you have to, but I'll make sure we have a house. Like,
I got us a car and a house.
Yeah.
We weren't going to waste any days of vacation. And I sure so wasn't going back to that woman's house. Like, the audacity of the ride home, of us being afraid she would leave us in the desert where there are no rental cars, there's only rental ATVs and Jeeps. I literally had in my head at any given time she was going to just tell us to get out of the car, out of her car with our stuff, like, yeah, at any given time, and put our life in danger, like, straight up, like, no phone service. Like, so I had, like, really in my mind about, like, not getting her upset, because we didn't tell her that we had, that we were getting, that we weren't going with her until what, we were like halfway out of the desert back to civilization or something.
What happened was we got that Airbnb that night before, and then she was normal that night. We got it before we even went on that ATV ride. We got it because we got it the night before our last night, so second to last night. And then that next day we were like, okay, we're gonna let her know that we got the Airbnb for tomorrow. But then she was like insisting on doing the ATV ride, and I was getting upset about it or whatever. And then we were like, okay, listen, like, she finally has something that she wants to go and do. We'll just go do the thing that she wants to do. We'll wait till tomorrow. We won't like disturb the peace. And so we went and did the ATV thing, and then she did her whatever thing when we got back to the place. So then the next morning when we were going to go to breakfast, we were like, do we tell her when we get to Salt Lake? Because she kept threatening to leave us in the desert, which is why we had that fear, by the way. And so we were like, do we wait till we get back to Salt Lake City? Like, what do we do? And she was packing up the car, and you're like, I'm just going to go tell her now that we got the Airbnb.
I do remember that. Yeah, I remember telling her. I just couldn't remember if it was after we got in the car or before we got in the car.
Dude, it was before. And then we had the most awkward drive to breakfast. And every meal, you guys made me sit by her. You guys were not, like, you guys didn't budge on that. And so I sat by her at breakfast, and she was just, like, so angry. And again, we talked about this before, but, like, I'm not the person who, like, if we already have a solution to this, if I've already offered to talk and you don't want to talk, I'm not going to sit here and treat you poorly. There's an issue here. We all know that there's an issue here. There's no hiding around that. I'm not going to be mean to you, and I'm not going to make it miserable. I'm going to treat you like a human being. I will have conversation with you, whatever. So then when we're at breakfast and we're all talking, I'm like trying to be nice and involve her in the conversation. And then after we got to the Airbnb and I had blocked her and she was texting you guys and being like, Gemini was so fake at breakfast. I'm like, is the thing that you should do, and maybe I do it wrong, like, is the thing that you should do to just be like, no, fuck you, bitch. Like, is that how I should have treated her? Been like, you are an alcoholic and fuck you. Or do you just go like, I know that this person has a problem and that, like, clearly they're mentally struggling right now. I'm not going to treat them like shit.
Yeah, that's what I would do. That's how I do. I take the higher road. I do that, like, especially with guys, because a lot of guys will present that they're like, they've got all this shit together. They're doing great. They're popping their shit. Get me to like them. And then just poof, I'm struggling. I'm about to off myself. If I had and I don't mean this insensitively. If I had a dollar for every time someone was like, I'm really going through it, directly after they try to start a relationship with me for no reason, started pursuing me for no reason, I would have like over $1,000. Okay. Like, that's just $1. Imagine if they were all giving me 100, you know, like, we could get rich quick. But at the same time, why are you pursuing new relationships? Like, that's what doesn't make sense to me, is because people want a trauma bond and fill some void with a friendship or a relationship that isn't truly for them. Like, being friends with people because you want what they have, or wanting to be in a community that you don't really fuck with nobody but maybe two people. You know what I mean? Or the whole time you don't even fuck with the person who started the damn community. And, you know, and I experienced this with a girl who treated me and another girl terribly within her community. And so I invited that girl to my community and she stirred up shit. Like she was one of the ones that's still a main shit starter, you know? So it's like at the end of the day, there's definitely a lot of reluctancy to just straight open up with people. 'Cause you start telling people what you want, what you expect, what you need, they're going to try to mold into that. And then they may deceive you for quite some time, but eventually, you know, the facade or the illusion wears off or wears thin. You know, someone can only disappoint you or prove you right so many times before you have to fucking listen to yourself. And I know sometimes it might, for some people, it might take 20 times, but it's going to take 20 times. For me, I'm like on this 3-time thing. You let me down that third time, I do not care. Like, I'm cool with the hey, I had to work late, or hey, I got a flat tire, this happened. But once it's like a consecutive all the time, it sounds like a dark cloud just surrounds your life. I cannot fuck with you. And I don't mean that in a sense of anything except I can't save you and you're not doing the work to try to help yourself. And even when things get better, you like sabotage or whatever. You know what I mean? Like things are getting better. I'm in a community. I'm living. I've got friends. Like that one girl we went and saw, she never at any given time had hung out with three women plus herself at any given time. She has never been with four, like in a foursome ever in her life. Like she does not have friends like that. She may have one friend that she's going to get high with or do drugs with or whatever, like most of these bitches, but they don't got multiple friends. And then they come into our community and start meeting people and seeing that, you know, I can simultaneously be best friends with you and Jackie in the same room at the same time, even though y'all haven't met each other. There was never any like, oh no, you're giving Jackie more attention, or oh no, Gemini's getting more attention. It was like, you know what I mean? It was completely like cohesive and harmonious, and like I treat everyone with love and respect and stuff. So like at the end of the day, anyone who has truly a problem with me, I feel personally hates themselves, because I don't do anything to fuck with anybody. You may just like, I may rub someone the wrong way, or they just don't, something about me they just don't like, but deep down it's something that I'm expressing that they feel scared or intimidated to express in themselves, so they don't like me, period.
Right.
And
Oh,
I'm not.
I loved your little attitude, hand close, eye roll at the end. No, and you know what? I was even reflecting on this part too. I was thinking about the conversations that we had had planning this whole thing going up to all meeting in Utah, right? Because this is the crazy thing too, is we all talk to this person on our own for months. Planning something. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, for months, we were all in like friendly communication. We just weren't all in the group setting. So, I think that's one is like it already started this click mentality for her of you and Jackie were going to be a group and that me and her would be a group. And so then when we, so I'm remembering text messages where she was like, well, and nobody will feel like the third wheel because there'll be you and me, and then there's the two of them. And I didn't correlate that as being, I'm planning on it just being like you and me are going to be buddy buddy, and Paige and Jackie will be buddy buddy, which I think is what she thought in her mind was like, she and I are both married, even though she only knew her husband for like 3 days. And so her and I are married. We both have kid, right? And you and Jackie are coming is just like single, fucking always traveling the world and like with your outfits. And I think that that separation, she may have even done it subconsciously where she's like, hey, Jem, only pack like yoga pants and a sweater and whatever, because we're just going to be like out in nature, knowing that you guys were going to be coming there with fucking outfits. And I don't know why I didn't think about it, but trust me, I'll have 4,000 options next time we do fucking anything. You'll be like, no, literally, we're just sitting in mud the whole time. And I'm going to be like, cool, I brought Gucci. Like, what's good? That's how I feel. Like, I'm going to prepare. But I think that she was caught off guard. She expected the entire time to be a third wheel. which is why I think there was the invitation for me to surprise you, for me to come. I think that she always expected that inside of a dynamic, she was going to be a third wheel, so much so that she made herself the third wheel, so much so that she was like, you guys are all vibing. Like, I don't like this. I thought it would be you guys talking and then I'd talk to Jem over here.
Yeah, I remember when she said that she was feeling left out when all she did, y'all, was like go and isolate herself and talk to her newfound husband on the phone and like take sips of vodka, because she literally bought a half gallon of vodka and put it in the freezer day one. And so, you know, this is coming from a situation where me and this girl had literally like 100, probably like 80 day Snapchat streak. That's like well over a half a year. You know what I mean? Like, for us to plan something, to even be in a context or a conversation where you invite me to Utah. I didn't invite myself to Utah. This started, she invited me to Utah. I was like, absolutely would love to, but Jackie's got to come with me or I'm not coming. And then she secretly invited Gemini, or we all invited Gemini. She said no, then they had a secret. And I think that there was this level where she thought, well, Paige hasn't met Gemini and I bet I can get closer to Gemini. And I think what really triggered her was that situation. Like, you know, with the sense of her not liking me, I think she expected us to not vibe as much in person, to think that like you and her were closer and would have a better vibe. And I think she just realized how poor her judge of character is and how she wanted to hang out with like the girly girls. Cause like you wear makeup way more than I do and get ready and do things. And I think she just wanted to like feel like she had girlfriends, even though she clearly doesn't hang out or do anything with anyone. And she clearly has a lot of mental issues, in my opinion, to just randomly invite strangers in your grown adult life. Like, she's like 37, 38 years old, older than all of us, and invite us out to your home, cook us breakfast, invite us into your nice home, and then take us out into the desert and act like a complete estranged woman who we took away from her husband and she had to go fuck her ex-boyfriend because he was down the street.
Two ex-boyfriends.
It didn't make sense. Yeah, we did see her other ex too. You're right, we did. So, you know, it just, it was such a mind-blowing thing that when I look back and I'm like, wow, that was a year ago last month, like that happened. That's been like kind of the foundation for the last year. Like last year, that was where the roller coaster started. And then a month later was when the community things unfolded. It was in March and April.
You know what's crazy about that community thing? And this, as I was thinking about the trip and I was thinking about that night that I was like, that me and her had it out, the girls from my community space that had linked up with girls from your community space, the girls in my space had put me into a group chat with them like a few months before that. And they were constantly inside of the chat like, we, you know, a part of mentorship is like, we really want to be able to get to know you and like what you're going through. And like, we're a safe place for you too. Like, you offer so much support to us and you're always listening to like our problems, whatever. Like, if you ever need a space, like, we're here. Like, don't even worry. Like, we're here. And I was very like, my life is my life. I mean, I'm even private. I'm just a very private person. And so I'm like, this stuff is my life. This stuff is mentorship and it's too separated. Well, when we were on that trip and I was about to lose my motherfucking mind, their chat was blowing up and they were like sending like, oh my God, we can't believe that you and Paige are together. Like, we hope that it's the best time. And I was like, listen, bitches, if I ever needed you, like, let me tell you what's going on. And so I tell them about everything that's going on, not everything, but I'm telling them about stuff that's going on or whatever, and her just leaving. And then it was only like 2 or 3 weeks later from when you and I came back from that trip that those girls were like, fuck you and Paige, that you guys, like, whatever it is that they said. And it's like, I feel like I opened myself up being like, yeah, I'll be vulnerable, right? Like, I've gotten to know you. Each of them had been on, they were the people who had signed up with me the first when I started doing mentorship. They took all of my classes. They, a week before like this all went down, even one girl one day before all of that stuff had gone down in our communities, was like, when's the next class? I want to send you money right now. Like, it's fucking mind-boggling to me. To this day, that's the weirdest part to me, is like the fact that there really are people who will sit on the sidelines. They'll even pay you money to sit there so that hopefully one day they can collect dinner, you know, they can collect on you and be like, oh, see, you're not perfect. See, I was sitting here for a year and a half and I was waiting for you to divulge something to show me that like, you're not a perfect healed person. And look, there it is. Fuck you and Paige.
Yeah. And that's where like that cult leader thing like evolved. Cause it was like, well, Paige isn't doing enough. And Gemini's bossing us around and using us and manipulating us or whatever. It was like, you were a villain. And then I was just like, not
the little victim. You were just like the
not
little
doing
mouse.
Anything. I was just like, yeah, pay me money. You're not going to get your reading. One thing about it that I've learned though, with those subscription type services, just because someone gives me money doesn't mean I really want to give them readings all the time, and doesn't mean that I like want to connect with them all the time. And there are people who subscribe to like a subscription service, and it's same thing with like Netflix. There's people who watch it 12 hours a month and people who watch it 12 hours a day. You know, it's the same amount either way, and they benefit from the people who are only going to watch it 10 to 12 hours a month versus the people that watch it day in and day out. There's something on that TV playing 24/7.
Right.
So, you know, when I look back at the scenarios in my life with people like that, I've had friends that have nothing to do with spirituality that when I started evolving and healing and they were staying the same, you could see where we were significantly going on to different paths, where my life was getting better and easier and more exciting and travel or whatever. And theirs was stagnation, staying the same, in and out of jail, in and out of issues, court, whatever it may be. And I specifically remember one of the girls that I had hung out with for literally since I was probably like 16 or 17 was when we became friends. So all through my 20s, I mean, her kid loves me. She's like seven, like all these things. And she was literally one of the fakest bitches. And this has happened with two different women that like supported me. Like I'd known this girl, I'd known her forever. But we really got close in our teenage years because my dad wouldn't let me hang out with her as a child, like in middle school and things like that. He would not let me hang out with her. So when I got old enough to like make my own decisions and hang out with people, you know, we hung out and she literally like would be so manipulative, like drop her child off with me on a holiday weekend, like Easter, Halloween, several holidays that are like big and around children. So I would entertain and like cater to her child while she was out working or doing whatever. And like all the things that she ended up actually doing, like really crazy illegal things, she would try to tell people that I did those things and that that was me and that's what I did. Like she would literally tell people lies about me, saying the craziest things. And this, like, that's the first friend that started that, but I've had like several women in my life, like handfuls, that throughout my life have done that in my 20s, just like constantly want to be your best friend, but then gather, like you said, dirt or whatever, or even just make things up. Like even just make things up. I had another friend that I was friends with for a long time, similar scenario. And she was like, you started reading tarot and you think you're better than everyone now. And like, I used to give this girl so much stuff, like really nice jewelry and clothes that she could sell so she could get money like for her kid. And like, I know she didn't wear it. Even if she wore some of it, she still sold a lot of it too. Like just dupe purses, just things that I get and just like give it to her. One day she was like, just because you give me your old clothes does not mean you're a good friend. And then like 2 years later, she texted me on my birthday and was like, I really miss you. You were always such a great friend. I hope you're doing well. I'm really sorry about everything that I did. I didn't mean those things. You were always a great friend, XYZ. And I just did not reply. Because people, like, they project onto you. They have no accountability. And then maybe later down the road, they gather some accountability that makes them feel like they can, map some shit out. But at the end of the day, people are who they are, and only their willingness to actually change is going to change anything. Otherwise, it's just going to be drama, back and forth projection, and they're going to go from one relationship, one friendship, one click to the other with the same bullshit. It's just like if you step in dog shit and you walk in the house, baby, it's going to be everywhere. These people like pretend like they're not the issue, but they are the common denominator in every scenario.
Oh, that was a lot to unpack. Yeah. Were you the kid? Okay, so maybe we've talked about this before, but for me growing up, I was always the one that parents said was like the bad influence, but it was just because everybody would blame the shit on me. And I was always like, I'm your friend. I'll take one for the team. So, like, we get caught smoking in the bathroom at school. I'm not even smoking, but I'm like, just say that it's me. So then everybody blames me on it. So then those kids' parents don't want me to hang out because I'm getting their, I'm making their kids smoke in the bathroom at school. I didn't even smoke. Or I had same group of girls. I had a friend who brought vodka instead of a green tea juice thing, and she told everybody that it was me who brought the vodka. And like the only reason that I didn't get expelled for that was because my mom worked for the school district and went to like the hearing board or whatever, and like gave this speech and was like, this is the kind of person that she is. Like, she doesn't drink, that wouldn't have, whatever. And like, I was. That's kind of fucked up now that, like, I didn't really think about the fact that I was just wanting to be everybody's friend. And I was like, I'll take it on, guys. Like, it's totally cool. And everybody was like, cool, she's taking it on. Like, and nobody like fought for me to their parents to be like, no, this is what really happened. Nothing.
Do you see the thumbs up that keeps popping up by you?
Yeah, I did.
That's been happening like to you and to my client. It never does it to me. I'm wondering what the cause is.
That's so.
I definitely was the kid who got blamed for a lot, and my mom would always be the person that would lie to people's parents too. So if we ever did get caught, my mom like would try to get me out of it and like save people, like, I definitely, like one time when I was in like fourth grade, me and a bunch of group of girls like kind of vandalized a park. And it wasn't like we vandalized it, we just wrote all over it with like some paint markers. And we got in trouble for vandalizing it. And there were definitely people that were more involved, but like got in less trouble, I guess. So I kind of understand what you're saying. I wouldn't say I would just be taking one for the team. Normally I would be doing the bad stuff too, but I would say that I was like influenced by people like my neighbors and people that were like older than me that wanted to hang out with me for some odd fucking reason. Like when I was 11 and 12, like even like 14, 15, and 16-year-old girls wanted to hang out with me because like my house was cool and my mom was cool and I had everything that you could imagine. I was really, really spoiled. But it was like all credit card debt. Like we actually didn't own anything. It was just we had things, So, like a lot of people would hang out with me, and my mom would literally see it as like free babysitting. So my mom would go out and like with her friends, and they would bring all these kids to my house, like, 9, 10, 11-year-old girls, and then like let the 16-year-olds come over and babysit us. And they were not mean to us. They chilled with us. They played with us. Like they were all about us. Like we'd prank call people. My mom would get pizza. Like we'd just be living like HBO best life. And I just look back on that and I'm like, there's no way in hell if I was 15, 16 years old that I'm hanging out 11 or 12-year-old. I don't give a fuck if she's got a PlayStation and a computer or not. Like I don't, I mean, I look back on that and it's just like mentalities have shifted a lot because of the internet. And kids don't even play anymore or really socially interact too much. But there's a lot more bullying. And we talked about that before about how, like, you used to be able to go home and like turn off the bullying or turn off the noise or turn off the drama. But now it's like constant. So I think like now people are less of their authentic self because of all this outside influence. Whereas when I was a child, like it was easy to just be like my weird, whatever self because for some odd reason, I was like really popular in like middle school with people who were way the fuck older than me. Like my eighth grade graduation party was more like a fucking senior college graduation party. Like there were way older people there and all kinds of people that shouldn't be there. One time I had a party and a bunch of people over 18 went to jail because I was only 15. Like I just feel like that just like I look back on this shit and I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm 21 years old and I'm going to a 15-year-old's party. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Well, that's the same thing I think about when like I was young. So the aspect of like getting in trouble, I was not a goody two shoes. I just was different about what I was going to get in trouble for. Like I was willing to get in trouble for sneaking out, for just straight not coming home, for hanging out with boys I had no business hanging out with, for just disappearing. Like, so I didn't want to get in trouble at school. I didn't want to be at school. And so I ditched all the time. And so I think about it now, dude. There was my friend's brother. I was in sixth grade, and he was a junior in high school. And at the time, I was just like, ooh, this boy like likes me, whatever. And we were like on again, off again while I was in middle school and high school. And I remember that it was my sophomore year. He didn't even go to the school anymore. And he would just like randomly pull up in his car at the school, and he would just sit there at the school. And his sister went to the school. And so I would be like, oh, he must be like coming to see her or whatever. Well, then one time, oh my God, this is like memory lane. One time he told his sister, like, oh, she's gained a lot of weight. And I remember that was the first time that anybody ever told me that anything about my body. Like nobody had called me fat before. Nobody had, especially not a guy, like nobody had ever said anything. And that was when I started like super questioning like my body, and like that started that. And then I remember like I wouldn't eat, or I would eat too much, like just like so strange. Meanwhile, I look back at pictures, and I was doing like hardcore softball. I had a full ride college scholarship because I was so into softball. I was like, my body was super conditioned and toned. And I look back on pictures now and I'm like, some ugly ass dude that like now he does meth and he sleeps on couches. He told you that you were fat. And so then you felt like you were unworthy about your body. And like, dude, this like, oh, and then anyways, he popped up in People You May Know like a month or two ago, and I was like, what? And then I went and looked on the page, and then I went and looked at like the person that he's in a relationship with. And not to like make fun of people, but this bitch is fucking whacked. And I am just like, I'm so glad that you ended up with the life that looks exactly the way that your energy felt.
Well, a lot of the people I grew up with that used to not like, I had a lot of friends, but obviously, kids pick on you and say things and whatever. And I look back and I see like 9 out of those 10 people, or like 9 out of 10 are literally like living in that small town in a trailer somewhere, or working in a factory somewhere, or got a bunch of kids and don't look happy, or like just whatever, like nothing that I would want is what they have. And I think where a lot of the jealousy was from like the perceived like we have all this and I don't have this kind of thing that kids have,
Yeah.
like whatever. But one thing about material things that I've really learned a lot about is I'm never going to base my happiness or how I treat someone based on what they're wearing or what they have. Because there are a lot of amazing people that just don't care about stuff like that, that actually deep down have money in the bank where they could go get new stuff. Like, we're judging people by material objects or material acquisition. And like at the end of the day, I would much rather know that I resonate with your spirit rather than like your income or who you are. So many people don't get that, and they think women are like just out for money. Well, it's like if I'm gonna be treated like shit either way by you incompetent men, you better have money. Facts. Like, you know what I mean? Like at this point, you got to pick a struggle, and you're an asshole, or you're rude, or you're insecure, or you're jealous, or whatever it may be. And the people I've dated in the past, like I look back on that and I do this thing where I like unblock people. And when I unblock you, I am completely over your shit. I don't care if what you know about what I'm doing. We've reached that point in like our non-verbal communication that like I no longer give a fuck if you know what I'm doing. And I will like peep what they're doing. And I look at it from this perspective of like, have they grown, or what are they elevating, or do they look happy? And most of the time, it's like they're still living their life for other people, trying to put on a show, trying to, project this image of success, when meanwhile I can read their energy and just see that they're still miserable, they're still depressed, they're still not going to therapy, they still do drugs sometimes, they still drink for free, or I mean drink in their free time, or they still drink for free.
They
Yeah,
still
like
drink
no,
for
they
free.
still drink for free because they're out there, like you're giving away all your energy. But at the end of the day, I'm just like, I have to make peace with like the life people have created for themselves, because that's just who they are. And when we embody what someone else has said, projected onto us, or perceived us as, we are giving so much of our mental freedom to that. Like whether it happened when we're 12, 15, 29, 69, 109, it does not matter. Like people hold on to things way longer than they should. And if one thing I've really learned recently in the last couple of years is to just let people come and go. And when they prove that like they're no longer worth my energy, my time, my intention, I'm just done with you. Like I don't care about what you say. I don't care about what you think. I just don't care. And that has really been freeing. And I think just the cherry on top from that trip and from all those people who drove across the country to visit me because they just worshiped and adored me so much. Like I've learned my lesson with that. Like I've learned my lesson with just letting everyone who wants to get close to me get close to me. And I posted something yesterday that said, being attracted to someone is easy, but wanting to talk to them, get to know them, or being excited when I hear from them is a whole other thing. And a lot of times we're attracted to someone's what they're showing the world, or what they, are perceiving to be. But there are so many people that rent Airbnbs or rent cars or do whatever on the internet that are perceiving this like, oh, I'm a Bitcoin investor, or oh, I'm a thriving artist or musician. And the whole time they've rented all those cars, you never see them in it again, aside from the content they filmed that day. They changed their outfit 5 times. They've stacked up content enough to make this look like it's theirs or their home or their car or whatever. And I've heard people, artists, be like, oh yeah, we rent that Airbnb every time we're in LA, or like we rent that every time we're in Cancun, or it makes it look like it's yours because you're there often enough, but the whole time you're just renting that. And so what we want to leave you all with tonight is like, don't let people and their perceived images of you shape who you are becoming, shape what you want to do, shape what your goals are, because so many of us are asking for directions from people we don't want to be like, or sharing good news with people who are just monitoring spirits who actually don't want you to break that cycle. They don't want you to be happy. Like I know for a fact, when you tell someone about a relationship prematurely, it goes south every time. Like I'm learning that from fact. Like you tell a friend, or you tell someone like, oh, I'm talking to this person, or oh, this is going good. You best believe, and it's going to be gone in 60 seconds after that. Like
Right, but I still want to know, so you still have to tell me.
it's not going to be anything. Like when we get on the internet and we're like, oh, I'm going to marry this person, or like, 3 days later, you move in with someone and give up all of your possessions and belongings. Like you only have to learn that hard lesson like once. And baby, we've all been there. We have all done something ridiculous that we wish we wouldn't have. But some of those hardest lessons that we learn, the people, places, and things that we have to let go of, truly open us up to a new perspective and a higher perspective. And that's what I love about the reflection of, spiritual growth, is you can really look back and see a lot of things with hindsight and see where you were playing a role in your own suffering, where you were enabling people to manipulate you. You were actually giving them the key and leaving the door unlocked at the same damn time. You were like, I trust you whole time, baby. They can't be trusted. So let's only learn those difficult lessons one time. It's Mercury retrograde, so be ready, Freddie.
I want to leave people with my own message. I feel like taking the high road is wonderful, but there are moments where it's going to be a year later and you're going to be like, God, I wish I'd just punched that fucking skank in the face. And I just want to say that in the moment when you're frustrated, think to yourself, in a year, am I going to regret if I don't punch this skank in the face? And if the answer is yes, have a page, because Paige would have bailed me out. Thank you. That's what I want to leave
You were gonna leave us with a card, but I guess she's written off the cards the last
Oh,
couple
I forgot
of
about the card.
years. She's like, you know what?
I had
That's
to think about that. No, that was on my noggin. It was while you were talking, I was just like thinking about you being like, I like to take the high road. And in my mind, I was like, God, I took the fucking high road, but like it did not feel as nice as just handling business, you know what I mean?
handle the business, baby.
Okay, we got card 39 for coiled snake.
Calico Ghost Town.
Spirit said, we're talking about snakes? All right. Card 39 is the sign is Cancer. The gift is transmutation, and the shadow is provocation. When you break out of the limiting relationship patterns and frequency coding of the shadow, you're able to shed your skin and live again. Here, your tendency to provoke does not disappear, but rather transmutes into a dynamic energy that calls forward freedom and creation, both for yourself and others. You channel your immense power and use it for aligned action instead of an instrument of pain. You emerge from the cage of your conditioning and move forward into undiscovered planes of pure fulfillment and bliss. You are magnetizing. Your shadow is provocation. This shadow unleashes a vengeful provocator, much like, is it provocator? Provocator, much like the venom of a snake. When misguided by low frequencies, you might feel triggered by those around you and then strike where it's sure to scar. The darker qualities of this shadow stem from a general misunderstanding in your relationships. In response to the situations and people around you, you may have a tendency to take things much too personally. When you breathe, take a moment to reflect and refrain from destructively reacting. You can see that anything that may seem disrespectful or unacceptable is just a pattern of trauma playing out in the world stage. In short, it has little or nothing to do with you. By shifting your perspective, you break the cycle of disharmony and keep the rattlesnake out of sight and mind. Your themes are death, birth, and the provocateur. This is literally like the way that this is saying about like handling like the gift and the shadow is exactly how I feel like we're saying we handled the situations and like the advice that we've been giving. And then I completely shit on it when I'm like, just punch her in the face. And it won't be, it's probably not the first time that's happened, and it won't be the last, but I just want you to know that I recognize it. I'll reflect on it and I'll probably still do the same thing, but I know about it.
Yeah, but I was actually really proud of you because that lady was yelling in your face and you didn't punch her. And the cops didn't come. So you actually saved us an extra headache because I think if you would have punched her, she would have left us in the desert. So, and then your husband luckily was going to come get us because he missed her already. So he was more than happy to come get us, which was nice of him. I'm sure you would have never heard the end of it if he would have had to come get us. He would have held that head like over your head in a way of like, you're not going
No,
anywhere.
because I'll tell you right now what would have happened is he would have brought my brother-in-law And my brother-in-law would have been like, that bitch left you in the fucking desert. We're going to her fucking house. And so it would have been a whole, it would have been a whole fucking shebang bang. So it's real good that we got out of there like we did.
He would have went to her house.
Oh, 1,000% would have been like, you got left in the fucking desert. We're going to her house. One
Okay.
thousand without question, without question.
Sheesh. She better be thankful because I don't know if Dirt and all his team could. I don't know if Dirt, the runner of the biker gang, could. He's not officially in the gang, just kind of their bitch was a keyword that I didn't hear, but that's all I could hear when she's like, yeah, I mean, he's not like in it, but he just kind of he's getting initiated, and you know, I have to be initiated too. And I was thinking, so they're about to fuck you. I had all these thoughts, but I've only heard rumors. I don't know exactly what
I
to
have
think.
to tell you something before we go. We were in the car today, and my husband said gangbangers, but he was like meaning anyways. And he was talking about this rough like area, and my daughter goes, "You can't talk about gangbangs in front of my brother." And I was like, "What?" And then I was like, "What?" I'm like, what are you? Why do you even know that terminology? And she's like, I'm in middle school. I was like, I gotta go. She's all, don't
Oh.
talk like that in front of my brother.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. You don't even know you all. You got to be careful for the gangbangers. The gangbangers.
Laughing at that so hard. I'm like, who says that?
We love you all, and we
All
want
right.
to live your best life and maybe be a gangbanger only on Tuesdays because it's ruled by Mars, which is tomorrow. But it won't, it'll be a week away. You just won't know what
Yeah,
day it is when you hear this. But think every Tuesday is a day for action and expression, even if it's a little angry.
amen. Bye,
Amen.
guys.
See you in Candyland.
Bye.